Before we come to the preaching of God's Word, let us bow before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we have been singing of being pardoned, being forgiven, having our sins dealt with. And Lord, Thy Word tells us that we are all sinners, fallen in Adam. And then daily in our lives we have sinned against Thee. We have broken Thy Word. And Lord, we pray that even this morning we might have a glimpse of the mercy of God, of the grace of Thy dear Son, and receive forgiveness and pardon, not only for now, but forever. Bless every soul here, O Lord. We pray that Thy Word would come with power to each one of us, that Jesus Christ does make us whole. We ask these things through Jesus Christ and in His precious name. Amen. Friends, as we are here this morning, we could all be divided into two groups, two categories. There are two types of people in this world. The ones who are born once, and those who are born twice. There are some people here who have been born two times. Imagine that. You think, how can that be possible? Does that sound strange to you? Or do you know what I'm referring to this morning? All of us have been born once, or you would not be here. But then there are those of you who have been born the second time. Many are content with just being born once. But I hope you see at the end of the message and through this message that you must, every one of us, must seek to be born again. The second time. Do not be content, friends, within your soul until you are born that second time. Boys and girls, adults, don't be content that you are just in a church, that you are hearing the Word of God. Seek the Lord that you might be born spiritually the second time. For some here, you must admit that you have never been born spiritually. You do not have a spiritual birthday, as it were. You can't look back and say, that was an occasion. That was a period of time in which the Lord was working in me and the Lord saved my soul. But then there are those of you who have that spiritual birthday, as it were. It might have happened over a period of time. You can't put a date on it, but you know that during that season, the Lord spoke to you and saved you. If you have not had that experience, isn't that troubling for you? Sadly, it doesn't trouble many people today. In the physical sense, you're born, but not in a spiritual sense. But the world of the unseen and temporal, they are familiar. You might be familiar with that. But with the world of the unseen, the world that you cannot see, the world that you must see by faith, the eternal world, you don't really have any experience of it. You don't have much idea about it. Christians might speak to you and you might hear sermons and it doesn't make sense to you. Oh, if we would talk about physical birth, the process of it, the natural birth, yes, you would understand it. This is how a child is born and what a miracle that is. But then, what about spiritual birth? Now, this is what that portion that we read in Titus refers to. That word in verse 5, the Apostle Paul says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Christianity and salvation, forgiveness of sins, is not by any works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. That is, God, through His mercy, He saves us. How? By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ paid a great price for the soul of sinners. He paid by His life. And here it says that this comes to us by God's mercy. It saves us. And this is by the washing of regeneration. It simply means regeneration. It means new birth. It means life. Renewal. Restoration. It's only used twice in the whole of the New Testament. And one of them is here. And here we read about the personal regeneration. Now, people say, well, there is that word there about washing. Washing of regeneration. And the parallel to that is the renewing. It simply means salvation. It has no reference to baptism or anything like that. It's, you cannot be converted through any water baptism of any sort, be it as an infant or as an adult. But you need the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Personal regeneration is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a person. To become a Christian, God must take hold of you and save your soul. And it is very personal to you. It's not because of your family. It's not because of your upbringing or anything like that. It's not by the works of righteousness which you do. But through His mercy, He saves us. Now this morning, I want us to think about this matter of regeneration. Being born the second time. Being born twice. The second birth. The Lord Jesus Christ refers to it as being born again. Born again. He says this to Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, he says this in verse 7. Nicodemus, don't be amazed at this truth. Don't be surprised at this truth. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. So that's the text. That's what we want to think about. And this is the word of God to you. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to every one of us this morning. Ye must be born again. And there are a number of things I want to say this morning. First of all, I want to explain these words to you. Explaining the terms of regeneration or being born again. What do we mean by regeneration? What do we mean when we say new birth? You must have that new birth. You must be born the second time. Well, we must state categorically what the new birth is not. That's something we must say. What we are not saying. What this new birth is not. Friends, when the Lord Jesus Christ says, ye must be born again, and He says it to this Nicodemus, He's not talking about religion, to taking up some sort of a religion. He's not saying, you must become religious, take up these rituals and ceremonies, and do this and that in the church or in the synagogue or whatever. If it were, the Lord Jesus Christ would never have said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Nicodemus was a very religious man himself. He was a Pharisee. He was a leader amongst the Jews. But he was not born again. I wonder, have you been lulled to sleep over your soul? Because you are regular church attender. Because you are equating religion with being a true child of God. And to have that new birth. I tell you, you can be all immersed in religion and yet not be born again. Nicodemus was one. The Apostle Paul, before his conversion, was a very religious man. A Pharisee of the Pharisees. A Hebrew of Hebrews, he said. But then he was not born again. So, mere religion doesn't make a person a Christian. Another thing that the new birth is not. The new birth is not a mental understanding or appreciation or agreement to a set of beliefs, to a set of teaching. It is not merely an education. Oh, you know quite a lot of things. Boys and girls, you've gone through Sunday school. You are taught at home about the Word of God. And you can even pray. If you were to be asked, well, what is the Christian faith? You would say what it is. You can answer many questions. Nicodemus was also a very highly educated man. And yet, there was something he did not know, or someone he did not know. The Lord Jesus Christ. He did not know him. And he didn't know what the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about. And we are living in an age where there's put too much, so much emphasis on education. And education is a good thing. To be educated. To know things. But education is not regeneration. Education is not being born again. Education is not Christianity. Education may improve your head, but it doesn't change your heart. And that's what we are talking about. What new birth is not, it's not a mental assent, an agreement, and say, well, I agree with this, 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 so then I can say the Apostles' Creed, I can say these statements of faith, and that makes me a Christian. No, that, it is not. Or else Nicodemus would not need to be born again. But then also, the new birth, being born again, to be a true Christian, is not a reformation of your morals. Your behavior. It's not saying, well, from tomorrow I'm going to be a different man. I'm going to be a different wife. I'm going to be a different husband. I'm going to be a different child. Who could have been more outwardly moral than Nicodemus? He belonged to a religious party that was renowned for its separation, for its strictness. Yet Nicodemus was not born again. You can be a very strict person this morning. You can say, well, I don't do this. And look at these people. They do that. You can have those kinds of things. But not be born again. Friends, you might say, I must clean up my life. And which one of us don't need to? All of us need to clean up something in our lives. Day by day. You have regrets, haven't you? I have regrets. But reformation, changing things outwardly, just changing the outside of things and not being affected inwardly, the inside, is not being born again. It's not new birth. You see, the scripture says that it's the heart that is the problem. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's what Jeremiah says. So, reformation of your morals, your behavior, your character, is not conversion. But also, the new birth is not a change of community. It's not a change of society. What a fine reputation. What a fine community and social standing Nicodemus had. He was well known in his community. He was an academic. He had an established reputation. People knew him. But he was not born again. Friends, I hope you see this. You see what the new birth is not. And some of you may be very religious. You attend church regularly, but are you born again? You might be gifted intellectually, but are you born again? You might have great reputation and standing, and people think highly of you. Your morals, your behavior is good. But do you know anything about the new birth? So, I hope I've explained some of these terms and said what it is not. But let's think about what it is. What is the new birth? What is this regeneration in Titus 3:5? It simply means to be born again. Well, what is this new birth? So we've thought of it negatively, but what is it positively? You must be born again. What did the Lord Jesus Christ mean? What do you think of it? Well, to be born, to be birthed, you can think of a baby, a child being born. What do you think of it in a physical birth? When you think about physical birth, you think about life. There's physical life there. And so likewise, it is a picture of spiritual life. Spiritual birth. When the Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, you must be born again, he was thinking of the impartation of life that God gives, that you must have God's life in you. You must have eternal life in you. That's what he was saying. As a sinner trusts in Jesus Christ, life is given. As a Savior, we hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of our sins. Eternal life is given by God. It's a miracle. That's what we are talking about. Is this not what we all need? Not another birth, but a new birth. A new birth. Not reformation of the outward man, not education of the natural man, but the creation of a new man. That's what we need. A new person. A birth of the Spirit. A birth from above. He must be born again. It's simple, isn't it? Simple words, but so deep, so essential. Has God imparted His life to you? Are you a new creation in Christ Jesus? Is it, and this is what regeneration is all about. Becoming new. It is getting the eternal life, the spiritual life of God from Him, and to be pardoned and forgiven. That's what new birth is about. The question for you and I is, have you been born again? The second time? Do you see the need of it? Then the second thing I want us to consider is this. That this new birth, this second birth, it must be experienced. It must be experienced by us. Again, it is not something in your head, but it must be experienced by you. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that famous London preacher, he said, every generation needs regeneration. Every new generation, every new set of people who come forward, they must be regenerated. Then the Lord Jesus Christ said, you need to be born again. It doesn't say that. You should try to think about being born again. It doesn't say that. There's no ifs or buts. He says, ye must be born again. It's so serious. Ye must be born again. Did you know that there are at least three things that each person must do? The scripture says, ye must die. He must die. Every one of us will die one day. It's a serious thing. In 2 Samuel 14 and verse 14, we read these words, we must needs die. But then another must in our lives is this, we must meet God. Every one of us must meet God. For every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. That's what the scripture says. And then here the Lord Jesus Christ says this, you must be born again. The first two we will all experience. But the last one, have we experienced it? Friends, I tell you this, heaven may be reached without status. Heaven may be reached without power. Heaven may be reached without popularity and things that we possess. But you'll never reach heaven without a new birth. And this is why it is so essential. This is why the Apostle Paul spoke of this and he said, this is the reason why we are preaching so strongly to you. That knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's why this kind of a subject is again and again, it was apostolic teaching. You must be born again. And it is an act of God by which new life is given. New life is imparted to a person who trusts Christ and his salvation. Trust Him as his Savior. He must be born again. It's simple. And let me tell you a few things about this experience of it. Why we must experience it and how can we experience it? You might say, well, why is it so important? Well, let's think about this. The reason we must experience it, the reason why we need this spiritual new birth is because, spiritually speaking, the scripture says that we are blind in sin. We are blind in sin. The Lord Jesus Christ said, except a man, in verse 3, he says to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, and that word, verily, verily, it means truly, truly. It means amen, amen. It means this is the true thing. You must listen to this. And he says, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He says, there is an issue of the sight. He does not see the kingdom of God. And he will not see the kingdom of God. You see, the scripture says that the God of this world, even the devil himself, blinds the mind of those who do not believe. And until you are born again, you cannot see what you are missing. You cannot see heaven. You cannot see God's kingdom. You cannot see all that God has for sinners like us. And that's why Christianity and what Christians say, or the Bible says about life and death and eternity, that's why it may be strange to you. That's why you might think that these things are too extreme. Because you are not seeing it. You're blind naturally. That's how I was. That's how every person who's been born again has been. They didn't see. There was a time in their life. So we have been where you have been. So why we must experience the spiritual new birth? Because of our spiritual blindness. And also because we are bound in sin. So there is B for blind, B for bound. We're bound in sin. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Without the new birth, there's a restraint. The case isn't just hopeless, but helpless. Is this your present position? Have you tried to break some sort of a habit of sin? Have you tried to snap out of it and snap the chains of that is binding you? Then you discover that you're under a greater power. You continue in it. You're in shackles. And it's a heavy burden. And that's why it is so essential. You must be born again. But also, another B, blind, bind, and born. We are born in sin. That's why. The Lord says this in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. He's simply saying, like produces like. That which is born of man is human. That which is born of God is divine. It is eternal. That which is born of man is sinful. That which is born of God is spiritual. When I was born for the first time, I received from my parents their sinful nature. When I was born again, I received from God His spiritual life. That's what He's saying here. You need a spiritual birth. That's what the Lord is saying. And Nicodemus had experienced that being born of water. Physical birth. He had experienced that. There is no reference here to baptism. Remember that. That here, Nicodemus was born, physically speaking, which put him into this world. Nicodemus needed to have that spiritual birth to make him an heir of the other world. He needed to be a child of another kingdom. And friends, because of sin, by reason of sin, we are spiritually dead, the scripture says. This is not me speaking. This is the Apostle Paul speaks very strongly in Ephesians chapter 2 and chapter 4 that we are dead in trespasses and sins, separated and alienated from the life of God. And the only answer to spiritual death is spiritual life. And the only way to have a spiritual life is by a spiritual birth. You must be born again. So there is hope there. There's answer there. There is no confusion here. The world, you talk to them, they're so confused. They say, well, I don't know. There's no real answer to this. But the Lord gives us a clear answer. A child can understand it. So you must experience the spiritual and new birth because of the problems that we have. Because we are blind. Because we are bound in sin. Because we are born in sin. So how can we experience it then? How can we experience this? I read of a pastor, a minister, who was seeking to reach this dying doctor. You know, doctors die as well. You know, your GP will one day die. Nurses will die. They will have medication, but medication and treatment go so far in life. And this minister was speaking to this dying doctor. He had spoken to him about conversion. These very words he had been reading to him. He'd been speaking to them about forgiveness of sins and redemption through Jesus Christ. But nothing seemed to reach this dying man's heart. Then he spoke to him of regeneration, to be born again, and that's what he needs. You see, this doctor, for over many years, he had attended countless births. And then he said, a new birth? You're talking about a new birth? Why, that's what I need. A baby, he says, has no past, only a future. And that's what I need. And my friends, this is what we all need. We need this experience of this miracle of the new birth. But how can we? Well, this is a miracle. And this miracle is given through the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 14, we did not read it, but let us read it now. In verse 14 of John 3, it says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Here, the Lord Jesus Christ is referring to that account, that story of the brazen serpent. And Nicodemus was familiar with that account, that had happened a long time before amongst his people. It was sadly a story of sin in Israel. Israel, you see, had rebelled against God and had complained against God, and they were being punished. But also, even though it's a story of sin, it is a story of grace as well. Because Moses went and interceded. Moses went and prayed, "Lord, have mercy." And God provided a remedy. God provided an answer. Something to save them. That's grace. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was referring to that. He says, there was that serpent that was put on a pole. And do you know, for you to be saved, I must be put on a pole. The Lord Jesus Christ was prophesying of his crucifixion. And he says this, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. And then he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Do you see this? So there was sin, but there was grace. There is sin in our lives, but there is the grace of God in Jesus Christ. That's how we can receive this new birth through the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because on the cross, Jesus Christ provided a remedy for that sin question, our sin problem. He died to save a people like us from sin and death and hell. That's what we were singing, weren't we? But then another answer is this. How can we be saved? How can I be born again? It's made powerful by the Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ said this in verse 3. Again, it said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to say that about except in verse 5, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There's the physical birth, and then there's the spiritual birth. And he goes on to speak about the fact that the Spirit of God goes wherever he wants to go. What is that? Just as there are two parents for physical birth, so there are two parents for spiritual birth. There is the Spirit of God who gives life. And then there is the Word of God, the Word of the Spirit, the Bible, the words of the Gospel that you hear this morning. They give us life. They produce faith in us. The Spirit of God takes the preaching and the Word of God and shows to us the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And you must trust in this Son of God, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. And a miracle takes place in the heart. You must be born again. And this must be made personal. How can I be born again? It must come to you personally. It says in verse 15 and 16. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a personal thing. Whoever you are, whatever your position may be, you may trust in the Savior. There's nothing that bars you. There's nothing that stops you. But your sin and yourself. So the question is this. Will you this morning look by faith to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you this morning by faith look to Jesus Christ as the only Savior? And then live. Live forever. Have that new birth. But then finally, the third thing is this. The new birth must be expressed. It must be expressed. When you experience it, then it is expressed. One of the saddest experiences of a wife and husband is to have a stillbirth. To have a child born but it's not alive. It is so sad. And it is such a tense moment when a baby is delivered. And everyone waits for that child to cry. That's the best kind of a noise at that point in time. Not afterwards, but right at that point of birth. You're waiting for that cry of the baby. And to see the limbs moving. To see the child moving. You see, the child is fully alive. There's life there. Now listen. If we have experienced this miracle of the new birth that we're talking about, and the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking of, that we must be born again, then there must be some signs that will be expressed, will be shown, will be revealed of that fact. What are the signs of life in a physical birth? Well, think about it. There are parallels here. We have already said the baby cries. There's a cry of a baby. Instinctively, the baby begins to cry. What about someone who is born again? He begins to cry to God. He begins to cry to God. Lord, save me. Lord, work in my life. Lord, pardon my sins. He begins to cry, but not only once or twice, but throughout his life, he's crying, he's calling upon God. That's what the prayer is called in the Bible, crying to the Lord. And this comes naturally to the person, instinctively to the person, crying to God. In what way? In dependence. He's depending on the Lord in everything. He needs the Lord. He's crying to the Lord because the Lord is his only hope. The Lord Jesus Christ has become his only hope. So in hopeless situation, in the darkest of hours, he says, I cry to my God who is my hope. And then he trusts. Prayer is about trusting. Like a child who trusts a father. You recall when Saul of Tarsus, he was converted. Do you recall what happened? The Lord said to Ananias, who was going to go and pray over him and to heal him, he says, Ananias, let me tell you this. This is how you know that that Saul of Tarsus has been converted. Behold, he prayeth, he says in Acts 9. Behold, he prayeth. Again, Spurgeon said this, prayer is the autograph of the Holy Spirit upon the renewed heart. It's the autograph, it's the signature of the Holy Spirit on the renewed heart. Do you claim to have been born again? Do you profess to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord? Let me then ask you this. Do you pray? Do you pray from the heart? I'm not talking about saying your prayers. I'm not talking about reading prayers from a prayer book. But I'm talking about calling upon God from a renewed heart. Does the Lord see you upon your knees? Another thing is this. A baby feeds. A baby feeds. That's another way of expressing that a person is converted. A born again child of God because a baby feeds. There's something wrong with a baby who doesn't feed. It's not eating. Have you a hunger for the milk of the Word of God? Have you a hunger for the meat of the Word of God? As the Bible tells us. The psalmist says this in Psalm 119 verse 97. And can you say this? Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. That's a sign. You love to be where the Word of God, the Bible, is preached. And where it is preached clearly. You want to be there whenever you can, regularly. Is that a mark of your life? And then at home, you love, is this part of your daily walk and daily practice? I need to meditate upon the Word of God. You're feeding upon it. You're going over it. You're seeking to apply it in your life. And then another thing that the baby does, the baby cries, the baby feeds, the baby moves. The baby moves. It's turning its head. It's flexing its limbs. It's crawling. It is toddling. It's exploring. Is this not what a born again child of God, born again person does? He moves. He moves in the spiritual realm into which he has now come to. He's sorting out his priorities in his life. Things are changing. He is active. He's serving. He's seeking to do something. He's reshaping his life, not according to his liking, not according to his pleasure, but is reshaping his life according to the Word of God. He's now in a new allegiance. He's now in an army, a spiritual army. Another thing is that a baby rests. A baby sleeps. It's amazing, isn't it? There could be war outside, and the baby sleeps. You put the vacuum cleaner on, the baby is still sleeping, and you're amazed. How could a baby sleep? But then you think, as soon as the mother closes her eyes, the baby awakes. But I'm not talking about that. But the baby rests. There are times of rest for a child. He relaxes completely, sleeps soundly, when others are alarmed. And he's relaxing in the adult's arms. Are you resting in the knowledge that you are in the arms of God, in the everlasting arms of the Savior, that your sins have been pardoned, you have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that you? That you received the grace of God that you did not deserve? And is that sufficient for you? Imagine, the apostles one time were rejoicing because of the things that they had achieved, but the Lord Jesus Christ said to them, don't be amazed and don't be rejoicing over that, but rejoice over the fact that your names are written in heaven's book. That's what you should be rejoicing over. So, friends, I've tried to explain to you what regeneration, what being born again means, and how it is to be experienced and how it is to be expressed. Do you claim to be born again? Are the marks of the new life found in you? Are you concerned about your soul over this and think to yourself, I am not born again? I remember when a friend invited me to church, and I encourage you to invite people to the services. I encourage you through this week, find opportunity, make opportunities. In the morning, pray, Lord, enable me today to invite someone. Make an invitation to someone to come to the services next Lord's Day. Both will be evangelistic. And I remember people did that with me. And I went, I had no idea. I had no clue what this church was about. And I began to hear the Bible read. And I had no idea what it was about. But then over a period of time, the Lord began working in my life, convicted me of my sins. And then in time showed me the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we are talking about. To be then changed and transformed by God's grace. I read that how many years ago, in the mid-1800s, there was an Anglican canon in Liverpool. I only found out about it yesterday, of the great work of God that was done during that century in just Liverpool. There was Canon Aitken, his name was. And he preached to large crowds in Liverpool. People didn't like him because there were ministers who were being converted under his preaching. And they said, well, how can you be doing this? You should not be preaching to ministers that they must be converted. But he did. And he preached to them, you must be born again. That was the theme. That was the text he would preach oftentimes. And one time he came to Bristol. This is what I read yesterday. He came to Bristol and he preached on that text, this very text. Ye must be born again. And there was a man there. His name was Horatio Bottomley. He was a fine, brilliant young man. And he listened intently. He was deeply moved. And at the close of the service, that young man thought, no, not I. Not I. This is not for me. I'll run my own life the way I want to. And he did run his own life. He made a fortune. He became the people's hero, as it were. He became an MP. You can type his name up. Horatio Bottomley. And you also then find out that he exposed swindlers. He exposed those who would not pay their taxes and who would commit various crimes. And he vigorously prosecuted them. But at the age of 63, Bottomley, who had exposed the crimes of other people, he himself was found guilty of that very crime, and he was sentenced to 7 years in prison. And a Christian minister went to see him in prison. And he told Horatio Bottomley his story of conversion. He said, many years ago, I was sitting in a service in Bristol, and the minister was preaching. It was Bishop Canon Aitken, he was preaching on that text, ye must be born again. And do you know, I was convicted of my sins. And I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And it was a memorable time for me. And Christ has been all to me. The Lord Jesus Christ has changed everything in my life and has been everything to me. And Bottomley thought deeply. And he said, I too heard that very message. I too heard the searching message, and I felt something of my need of the Savior, but I rejected him. Then he said remorsefully this. He said, a life without God is a wasted life. A life without God is a wasted life. My friends, up to now, you maybe have lived your life without God, without Christ, without hope. Will you continue to do so? And say later in your life, my life has been without God. My life has been one without His life in me. Or will you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith as your Savior and leave even this place a converted child, a converted man or woman? Well, you must be born again. May this ring in your ear, and may you see that there is hope in the Savior. Amen.